Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Because of the variety of ways that we're trying to use him helps in some capacity, and I think maybe most helpful is his mentality. Like, he's coming down here with just a tremendous spirit. Like, his three-point shot is looking good. You know, he shot more threes in practice the last few days than he might have for almost half a season. And he looks good. He feels good. And I know he's getting tremendous encouragement from his teammates.
It's Brett talking about Ben. And we're back, Marks and Reese, uninterrupted for nearly an hour here, commercial-free at 215-592-9494. But we do have some breaking Phillies news here, Ike Reese. So the Phillies are expected to continue their season, to restart it on Saturday with a doubleheader, and those games could be seven-inning games against the Blue Jays. Another game on Sunday. Originally, on Monday, it was supposed to be a scheduled day off, and then the Phillies were supposed to play the Marlins in Miami, which would have been Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday.
We know that's not happening.
It is not. Looks like the Phillies are going to go to New York on Monday and Tuesday, this per Jim Salisbury, to play the Yankees. Okay. And then the Yankees come to Philly on Wednesday and Thursday.
Okay.
Which makes sense, right? I mean, it seems like they're going to wipe the Marlins out for a couple weeks here.
You have to.
Yeah.
I mean, you already broke down the whole sport.
Yeah, you already got the Nationals saying they're not going to Miami. So,
and they shouldn't.
Yeah, so, I mean, this is the fallout from the Marlins not exercising proper protocol when being out. Like, this is the fallout from that. So we're not going to punish everybody else. You guys just won't play.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you don't make the playoffs, I mean, and they shouldn't be rewarded if they
– believe me, they won't be.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's no way that the Marlins are going to get in the playoffs because somehow they only played 30 games and have a better winning percentage than seven other teams or a couple other teams, right, to sneak in.
Especially how they got it.
That's what I'm saying. It'd be outrage.
It'd be one thing if somebody got it and it spread and it was innocent.
Mm-hmm.
The fact these guys went out, like the team went out.
Yeah.
And
or
they
enough
did
of them on the team went
enough
out.
Yeah.
They came back. Not only did they do that, but you came back and you basically contaminated the rest of your team.
You almost shut down the sport.
Yeah.
I mean, think about that.
Right. Salisbury just tweeted it, and it's funny, too. Doesn't this remind you of, like, when you were a kid having to call your friends to see if they can come hang out? Like, the Phillies just called the Yankees and were like, hey, you want to come down here? We'll go to your place.
Yeah.
It's pretty
how
much.
This is how we're deciding the schedule for a major sport.
Well, I guess that's the one benefit of fans not being there, because now you don't have to worry about
your
obligation to
stuff.
Ticket sales and everything. So,
and since all the broadcasters are broadcasting from – home
right,
anyway.
From home. It's really just the teams
bussing
up
flying. It's easier to coordinate for sure.
Yes,
now, the Yankees had scheduled days off Monday and Tuesday next week anyway, so they'll fill that in. And then they were supposed to play the Orioles on Wednesday. They already played that game.
There you go.
And then they were playing the Rays on Thursday. So they have an off day the following Monday. They may just push that Rays series back a day.
There you go.
And that's how you make up for it.
Yeah.
Seems easy enough, right?
I mean, the Phillies are about to get 5 days off.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
they'll be plenty fresh.
Yes,
giving this bullpen some time to really rev it up.
Yeah, they won't have any days off for the rest of the year, Ike. But they'll get some days
possibly.
Off here.
Yep.
All right, so that's that. 215-592-9494. The 76ers. Sixers fans, what do you think, man? Ike, you have been very positive with the Sixers,
and I'm still there.
So you're still expect. Oh, his hands out. Let's see, Jack.
Hand's not moving.
It's not moving.
Yeah, but, you know, I trust him more on the Bronco than I do the Sixers.
That's true.
Trust
That's
the
true.
Hand a lot more.
Positive, like, on the Sixers, right?
No, I'm not telling they're going to win the title. I'm just saying.
You're expecting a run to get to the
yes,
Eastern Conference Finals.
I think they should get to the Eastern Conference Finals. I do.
I'm expecting a first-round loss.
Yeah.
215-592-9494.
Thank you.
Let's go to Dominic in Cherry Hill. Dominic, what do you got? How are you?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Dom.
What's up, Dom?
All right, please give me a little time to vent this out with Brett Brown, because I'll tell you what, Ike, I'm trying to be optimistic. I really am, but I don't know what I trust more. The NBA players are staying in the bubble, or Brett Brown actually makes sense with some of the stuff that he says. Because I'll tell you what he's been saying in these in this 38 minutes for Joel, oh, Ben shoots a lot of threes in practice, man, come on. Man, I hate when he talks, because it actually is in the Chip Kelly phase now, where I actually feel less Ooh. Confident. When he goes to the podium and tells us stuff about the team. Like, clearly the team doesn't respond well to Brett Brown, because that's why we have inconsistent play. That's why we beat the Bucks in Christmas. That's why we lose to the Atlanta Hawks. There's such an inconsistency about this team, and it goes right to leadership. And that's both with the players and Brett Brown, but mainly Brett Brown. I can't root for this guy. I just can't. I can't do it.
Yeah, and hey, listen, Dominic, I wish I could – Well, I don't even know if I wish I could, but I can't muster up an argument on behalf of Brett Brown. I just can't do it. I as much as I like Brett Brown, I've been in a camp of, you know, he's been here 7 years, so if they decided to move on from him, it's not going to upset me. My only problem is I'm probably ambivalent on Brett Brown, right? Brett Brown. It's like I don't dislike him.
No, I actually like him.
Yeah, I don't dislike him, but I also understand that, like, he's not going to be the guy that leads them to an NBA title.
He has no yes. Phil Jackson in him whatsoever.
Right.
It's pretty much what you're saying.
Yes.
He's a nice guy and all, but, you know, that's not what wins championships,
yep.
and that's not what gets players to buy in.
Here's the bottom, Dominic, here's saying. The bottom line, right? And it's not like, at the end of Gabe, I was annoyed with Gabe because of what Gabe used to say in the media. And everything else, right? But like with Brett, I don't even want to hear him say those things because I don't want to be annoyed with him. I really do like Brett Brown. But at some point, you have to look yourself in the mirror and say, is this the guy that's the best coach, the best person to be in charge of the Sixers? And if they can't get past
well, to
a
lead
certain
him to
point,
a title.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like he deserves a chance to fail, right? And I feel like that we've gotten to a point where he's earning his chance to fail to where you need to move on.
So let me ask you this, John, and I'll ask Dominic this as well. And Brett, BlackGritty.com is coming up next. He's never been a Brett Brown fan, so I'm pretty sure he's not going to be in favor of Brett. Sixers success, successful postseason run. Or failure to get Brett Brown out of here. Because we know if they have a successful postseason run, Brett's
he
back.
He stays. Yeah.
So what's more important? And that's an honest question.
Dominic,
I don't know.
What's more important?
To you, Dominic. Yeah.
Yeah, I think it's a tough question because I really love this like team. I want to root for the Sixers and all that. But, I mean, if we're just going to win a first-round series and then lose in the next round, like I don't want that to save his job.
Well, no, he's gone if that happens. If that happens, Dominic, he's gone.
We need to have higher expectations, and I'm starting to wonder if Brett Brown's hurting Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid's development, and that's where we draw the line as a fan base. We should.
What's the trade you want to talk about, Dom?
Honestly, I forget, John. I'm so mad at Brett Brown. Let's start talking about this. I'm trying to forget about it.
That's all right.
I don't remember.
All right, appreciate it, Dominic.
Appreciate it, brother.
See you guys.
Yes,
yeah.
You think there are
people out there who don't want the Sixers? Like we had a caller earlier. I think it was his name, was it Naeem? Yeah, I think it was, who didn't want the Sixers to succeed because he wants to ensure that Brett Brown's going to be out of here.
Yeah, if you make the conference finals,
I think
he's back.
Yeah,
no,
he's back. Yeah.
Unless something crazy happens.
Unless
in
you
Eastern,
get swept yeah, in the conference yeah. finals or something like that, yeah.
But it's a fluid situation. I mean, if they go out in the first round, I think he's Gunsky, yeah.
Yeah, I do too.
And also, like, how does Ben Simmons – does he actually look like there's some development and he's willing to take shots during the playoffs? That also matters, too. Like, the bigger thing for me is no one's going to confuse Brett Brown as the best X and O guy in the world. He's supposed to be the motivator, the guy that keeps the team together and that the guys respect. If he can't do that and he can't develop Ben Simmons into doing what he needs to do to be an effective NBA player that the Sixers need, right?
Well, that's not going to happen right now.
Well, but you got to see signs that it's trending in that direction.
Yeah, you may, but it may not be enough for you to actually beat a team that's already have players that know their roles, that's been in their role for 2 years. Like, to think Ben Simmons is all of a sudden going to turn into LeBron James, like, we got to be realistic with stuff. Just getting him to shoot open jump shots should be your bar right now. Like, to think he's going to turn into Steph Curry or somebody that's knocking down jump shots left and right, like, that's been unrealistic. That's just not going to happen.
I agree.
That's not going to happen. And Brett Brown doesn't have the ability to make Ben Simmons do that. We already see that. That's something Ben Simmons is going to have to overcome. Hell, he's been going to see a sports psychologist.
He should be.
Well, I'm just saying. So, but that's something that's a Ben Simmons thing. Brett Brown can't do anything about that. Like, Brett Brown has gone from being the babysitter, the caretaker, to being in a position where expectations are high. So my only reason for getting rid of Brett Brown, and for me, would be I hope you got a coach lined up that's going to make a true difference. Not somebody that's going to come in as a new name, that's going to just get a chance to cut his teeth as being a coach. Because now he needs 3 or 4 years to babysit these guys. Like, if you don't bring somebody in here who has an established voice that these guys are going to respect from the time you hire him, like, all you're doing is just
– it just can't be another guy. It has to be a guy that's that can make a difference, yes.
If the idea is to get someone who's going to push Embiid and Simmons, the only guys they are going to respect are guys who have jewelry on their fingers.
Yep.
This is the NBA. So I've seen plenty of young coaches get ran out of cities because the star player doesn't respect them.
Yeah, agreed. Agreed. So they need to hire the right guy, too.
You got to have the right guy coming in that's going to get the best out of it. And quite frankly, I don't even know who that guy is. I actually like the guy that's on the bench right now, Ime Udoka, the former Spurs player. He was assistant over there.
Maybe they would do something like that.
But that's contradictory to what I just said about a guy getting his first opportunity to cut his teeth as a head coach.
No, I agree.
Like, that's what that would be.
But I also don't know who is available that would be willing to take the job that would fall into the category that you're looking for. Because I agree. Like, I don't want to bring up the name of Phil Jackson because Phil Jackson's Phil Jackson.
Yeah, but Phil's not coming here.
Right. But what I'm saying is a guy that's going to come in here and Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are going to look at him and say, like, all right, he talks, I listen.
Yeah.
So I feel like Brett Brown says a lot of things. It probably goes in one ear and out the other with these guys.
You need a Jason Kidd.
No, I do. I am not a Jason Kidd guy.
Yeah.
I am not.
You may not be, but I know he looks at that point guard and sees himself.
Yeah.
And that guy turned into
But he was,
I want to say Jason Kidd is a top 5 3-point shooter made all time. And he couldn't shoot.
Ace and Kidd, he didn't have a J.
Yeah.
That's what they called him coming
out
of high school.
But I think by the time he finished, I think he's in the top 5 of 3-pointers made.
He was willing at the end of his career.
It's got to either be in the postseason or either in the regular season. I know he became a reliable 3-point shooter.
He did. No, he became good.
Number 10 all time.
So he is number 10.
Okay.
Okay, number 10.
That's significant, though.
Well, probably when he retired, he was top 5, and all these shooters that are coming in
now. He'll be top 50 in like 2 years.
Guys ahead of him, Steph Curry, Korver, Harden, Vince Carter, Jamal Crawford.
Yeah, all the guys that came after him, yes. Some of them weren't even playing when he retired.
All right, let's check
in the NBA.
Let's check in with blackgritty.com. Blackgritty.com, what's up, brother?
Man, I'm in these streets, dog. I heard you talk about Brett Clown, so I figured I'd bring the circus to the show. He's got to get to the NBA Finals to keep his job. He can't even get to the Eastern Conference Finals now. Because if they get to the Eastern Conference Finals and they lose, it's going to be the whole, oh, well, they were so close, nigga. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't care about none of that. None of it matters, okay? I was sitting there watching the first game. I saw Ben Demick out there shooting. I was like, oh, he saw the pandemic. He said, you know what?
Ben Demick. Ben Demick. Black Gritty. I like that. I like it.
He said, forget all the fears. I'm about here shooting, making rain out this piece. And the next thing I know, the rain does tap down. And I'm like, wait. What is going on? Yeah, Ben Demick. That's new.
I like that. I like that.
Right now.
That's the new Black Gritty.
Yeah, that's he's the new Ben Simmons, right? Is that where that's from? Because it's from the pandemic?
New Ben Simmons. Yep.
Okay.
Ben Demick. You know, my McNubians. I mean, I got all my nicknames out here in the street. So,
I think the hell and the high water is coming, Ike. Remember you talk about football? I'm sitting here looking at baseball, and it's just an embarrassment of a situation. And I don't think the NFL is any better. I don't think the NFL is any more prepared than baseball is. It seems like it is because it's kind of like off in the distance. But I don't feel like, unless you're in some kind of bubble, hockey is like surgical. They're good.
Right.
Basketball, as long as them wings is good, man. I done had them wings. I don't know if it's the ambiance and the music. Yeah, I mean, I ain't even no baller. You know what I mean? I went down there with a little $200 in my pocket, and the wings was fired. I left broke. You know what I mean? Probably hit the ATM twice. But I'm saying the ambiance and them wings, brother, them wings is good. So, but they can't even keep people in the bubble down there. So at least they got one. So unless the NFL does and says eight hub cities, it does something. Or locks dudes down.
They're not going to do the hub cities. But Gritty, let me just say this about the NFL. Like, the Major League Baseball was unprepared for the first outbreak. They were clearly unprepared. They didn't know how to handle it. The Marlins didn't know how to handle it. If the league literally let them decide if they were playing or not via group text message, that's ridiculous. But the NFL is going to get the opportunity to learn from some of this stuff, right? Like, they'll be able to learn from some of the mistakes from Major League Baseball. Is it going to be enough? I mean,
well, it's not going to be enough to keep people from testing positive, but will it be enough to keep the league from shutting down?
Right.
I hope that it's scaring the bejeebies out of everybody who's not in the bubble and makes them fly straight. That's my hope. I mean, I don't want nobody getting sick or injured or ill, but I hope that, like, the chicken wings and the outbreaks, people in the NFL are like, look, dog, let me just stay home.
Yeah.
Let me get some regular haircuts. Let me grow a fro this season. Throw my fist up in the air. Let me relax a little bit.
Yep.
And stay focused on the game. That's my hope. Because hella high water's coming. It's coming.
I feel you. Appreciate it, Black Gritty. So, after this past weekend, I'm thinking, as a sports fan, how could you not go directly to, okay, now how's this going to affect the NFL? If baseball can't get through the first weekend, how's the NFL going to get through a training camp or a season?
Yeah, that was my reaction.
I had that thought, too. Yeah. I did, too. But then, as you get more information as to what happened with the Marlins and things that are allegedly being reported that they may have been out a night on the town or what have you, they're in a city on the road for three games, or was it just a couple games? They stopped over for a rain delay. What the hell were they doing in Atlanta? Were they playing a series?
Exhibition game.
They played one exhibition game.
Why? I'm not.
Okay. I thought it may have been a series. But that basically happened because guys broke protocol and went out. And Joe Giglio said this yesterday, and Black Gritty just reiterated. Well, these other teams, including the NFL, hopefully they're taking notice of this and how quickly this thing can spread, right? Because sometimes athletes, pun intended, do believe they live in a bubble.
Yeah.
They think things that affect the regular, common, everyday folk, not all of them, but some athletes think it won't happen to me.
Won't happen to me.
It won't happen to us.
Sure. Young, money.
Man. Strong, athletic, sitting on top of the world. You got 100,000 people following you on social media, telling you how great you are. Like, these guys feel like they're invincible. Mm-hmm. And if something like this happens, then you realize you aren't. Even with Lane testing positive, I guarantee you that shook the NovaCare a little bit.
Man, you're not kidding.
Right? If you're a player and you realize, oh, man, Lane, Jordan, and Nate, they all tested positive. Yeah, this is how quick this thing can change.
Like that, yep.
So maybe we need to pump our brakes. Or it could have the opposite effect. You get more guys concerned, and then they decide, I want to opt out. We just had Chiefs starting running back, guy who could have been the Super Bowl MVP, but they certainly weren't going to not give it to Pat Mahomes. But Damian Williams had a hell of a game in that Super Bowl.
Oh, yes, he did.
He's opted out the season.
Yeah, you're going to see more, too. They have till August 3rd.
And that's not even a set deadline. Like, they're still working through stuff. I saw that this morning on the NFL Network, that what I even thought was a deadline for them to be able to opt out, it isn't. Like, they're still working through some other minor details to get these players to agree to this new, what is it, the proposal that the owners have put out there for them. Like, they haven't fully agreed to it yet.
Wow. I mean, if a starting quarterback would opt out, I think that's when you would really.
Oh, hey, everybody's going to notice then.
It would really hit the news cycle. Until then, it's kind of like, all right, well, I mean, it's notable, it's interesting, but people, I think, understand. But if the NFL players want to get through the season, it's pretty simple. And like you had said it, hopefully what the Marlins did was it served as an example for the other teams in the league. Listen, if you don't take this seriously, this is what's going to happen to the sport, and you may get it in the NFL. If you don't take this seriously, if you go out and you don't take precautions, this could happen to you and you could infect your team and you could shut down the NFL.
Yep.
I mean, the Marlins may not play next week. You know, we don't even know when they're going to play again.
I would dock them their pay, especially those guys that were out.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there should be some punishment for it.
Yeah.
No doubt about it. Markson.
Well, speaking of that real quick, so Lane Johnson, before he can return to the Eagles, if he's not showing any symptoms, he can only return 10 days after the positive test. He's also wait 10 more days.
Yeah, he's out. Yeah.
On top of this. Yeah. If he's showing symptoms, it's 10 plus days must pass since the symptoms first occurred 72 hours, I guess, ago. So
how long after a negative test does he have to have a certain amount of negative tests?
If he tests negative twice, he can come back in 5 days.
Okay. So you're looking at a couple-week thing here, and it's not that big of a deal right now because the season is still a long ways away.
Yeah, and give the NFL and the NFLPA some props that the schedule they set up and these provisions they put in sort of allows for you to test positive coming in, reporting to camp, and still have time to recover before we do any on the field work from a real training camp standpoint. Like, I don't think they actually go on the field till August 18th.
Yeah, it's almost a full month. Well, it's
3 weeks
month.
At least. Yeah, yeah, it's 3 weeks.
Which you're seeing now why that's smart.
Yes.
Markson Reese on 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios. Let's get another phone call in here, and then we have to settle, because today in Philly sports history, the Phillies acquired Roy Oswalt, and the Phillies acquired Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee, a good trade, Ike? You would say that
yes,
was a good trade?
Love Cliff Lee.
Roy Oswalt, good trade?
Yes.
All right, I'll agree with you. Good trade. But there have been a lot of bad trades, too. So we have to figure out what the worst trade in Philadelphia sports history is with help of Twitter and the people out there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's take a phone call, though, first. Let's go to Tommy in Newtown. Tommy, how are you?
Hey.
Tommy, go ahead. How are you?
All right, what's up?
Yo.
John, I really disagree with you about a first-round exit for the Sixers.
Okay.
I mean, we got maybe DPOY Ben Simmons, who's kind of developing a shot, who's still a stud without it. We got, if Joel Embiid stays healthy, that's last year's potential DPOY.
Mm-hmm. Tobias Harris, he's a great – you're going to tell me how great these players are. I get it.
Yeah.
And then I can also counter and say all the reasons why they wouldn't make the first-round exit, right?
And I see those reasons, but also I can't see a team that's below the 4 or 5 seed that we would lose to in the first round of the playoffs. Unless we stink up the seeding games, I mean, unless that's what you think is going to happen.
I think they could lose to Miami easily. They could lose to Miami.
I don't know. They're a pretty young team. Tyler Herro. Have you seen him in the scrimmage?
No, I haven't. But here's why they could lose. If Joel Embiid's not healthy, or Joel Embiid is kind of healthy, but he's still going out there and playing, and he's erratic and he's all over the place,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, there's a lot of reasons why they could lose to a team that they shouldn't lose to as far as talent. Right, and I guess that's my point. I can't trust Joel Embiid, and I still don't have full trust in Ben Simmons that he's going to be able to play with Joel Embiid and be the player that they need him to be in the playoffs. He didn't do that the last 2 years.
All right, I think Joel Embiid has been great, other than when he does go against like a veteran elite center like Marcus Gasol. See, if we were to play the Raptors in the first round, that is the team that I'm afraid of, honestly, because Joel Embiid is gone.
And last year, he really matched up well against them. You're right.
Yeah, I mean, Joel Embiid can't move. He is nothing against Marcus Gasol. But other than that, I mean, I could see a second-round exit maybe, but to be confident in a first-round exit, I just can't see it.
Yeah, I can't see that. Teams
Tommy.
Yeah, they should be able to win in the first round by playing – again, it depends on the matchup, because the Miami matchup would bring out a different energy. Because now you're Jimmy Butler.
You might see a couple of fights in that game.
Right. Jimmy Butler, who was infamous for challenging basically all the other starters in Minnesota one day, with the backup players that he would kick all of their butts in a game of 5-on-5. Give me the backup players. I'll take on you, Carl Anthony, Andrew Wiggins, and the rest of you guys and beat you. So, in other words, in his mind, he's going to intimidate you. So that's the way Jimmy Butler would come into this series.
Yeah, his guy's going to be on their toes. His we got to win this game.
What?
Yep.
Jimmy Butler is going to be like, okay, this guy is this, he's this, he's this. Mm-hmm. And then he, whoever he perceives to be the weak link of the big three, which you know it's not the big fella because that's his buddy, right? So he's either going after Ben. Tobias or Ben.
Yeah, but here's the other question.
One or the other.
How does Ben play with you, against Jimmy Butler?
That would be the thing. And I got to put Ben on Jimmy Butler.
You want to suck confidence out of Ben Simmons? Let Jimmy Butler have him in game one. Let Jimmy Butler drop 25-30 points on him in game one. Good luck.
See, and I see it the opposite way.
You think it brings the best out of Ben?
I think Ben locks him down.
Oh, that would be great.
I think Ben would lock down Jimmy Butler. If there's one thing I'm confident in with Ben Simmons right now, is his defense.
Yeah.
Oh, it's his defense. It doesn't require any thinking. It's all instincts and reaction.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't require him to worry about missing a shot or any of that stuff. He can just use effort, energy, and athleticism.
Well, isn't that almost what you need him to be, which is like
He has to lock down the other team's best scorer.
Dominate the ball in transition, shoot some outside jumpers, and just be the defensive stopper. That's what he needs to be. But
He's going
to
finish in top three of Defensive Player of the Year. He's not winning it over Giannis or Anthony Davis.
We'll see.
No, I know he's not winning it over Giannis or Anthony Davis.
Yeah, I mean
he'll be in the top three or four.
Are Sixers fans the
first team all defensive guy this year?
Are Sixers fans the most delusional in the city right now? Jack, what would you say?
Well, Flyers fans usually are, but their team's actually good this year.
Yeah, I mean I almost hold them separately, the Flyers fans, just because they're kind of their own positive entity.
Phillies fans are miserable.
I feel like Phillies fans are angry.
Yeah, I mean, I guess Eagles fans are Eagles fans.
Yeah, but Eagles also won too, so there's reason to be optimistic. That's what I'm saying. Like, if you're an Eagle fan, you should be optimistic. You have Carson Wentz, and you have a head coach that won the Super Bowl, right? 76ers fans, you're looking at the exact same thing that happened last year with the Sixers.
Yeah.
Like, it happened during the regular season. Joel Embiid, Ben Simmons. I mean, until they prove wrong, I don't know how you can be so confident that they're just going to waltz into the playoffs and they're going to accomplish what they haven't been able to do before. We have some breaking news there, Ike Reese.
Mm-hmm.
Joe Kelly, who threw behind the Astros last night, suspended 8 games by Major League Baseball.
Good.
13% of the season.
He's pretty much done the rest of the year.
Well,
Was he a starting pitcher or a reliever?
He's a reliever.
Oh, okay.
He's not a closer, but he's right. Like a high-velocity eighth-inning guy.
Got you.
He's not their closer, is he? Jack, he's not.
He's too erratic. He's a middle reliever.
He's too erratic. And the Dodgers gave him a lot of money. I'm all for the Astros getting their medicine, you know what I mean? Like, screw the Astros. But you can't be throwing the ball, especially like this. You can't be throwing, almost hitting the guy in the head, and then inciting a fight as you leave the field.
That's why he got the 8 games.
Yeah.
That's why he got the 8 games.
It's a combination of that, and also, like, you think Major League Baseball wants other teams coming in and chucking it at the Astros to start this kind of stuff? You have to make an example out of them.
Well, because they already put a no-brawling rule in.
So basically, you just broke that
rule right there. That's the other reason why. And that's what I'm saying. He incited the brawl by the talking.
He did.
The chirping. The Astros didn't respond to him throwing the ball behind them and over their head.
No, in fact, Bregman kind of just went down the first base.
Yeah, because they expect it.
Yeah.
But you can't just keep antagonizing them and sticking your tongue out because you're mad they aren't reacting to you throwing over their head the way you want them to.
Yep.
You know that's what that was all about. They wanted the Astros players to stand at the plate and be like, throw at my head again.
Yep.
And it didn't happen.
No. Nope.
It didn't happen. So he had to keep going with it.
Make sure that it did happen.
Until he got a reaction out of it.
And it ended up working at the end.
Yep.
So Major League Baseball let the Marlins take the field with a coronavirus outbreak, mm-hmm. but they suspended Joe Kelly for 8 games for throwing behind a guy.
Another good point.
It's just, whatever.
Kelly deserves it.
He deserves it, but it's
he
does.
But by the way, he deserves more than 8 games. And if they suspended him 10 games, he deserves every game of it.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I do like Kelly's. I enjoyed what I saw last night. But you can't throw at somebody's head. That's the biggest thing for me.
I don't know if he meant to throw at his head. It just happened.
Yes, he did. And he does have no control. You're right. Got a door and window. Take advantage of their big summer sales event. 40% off all windows and doors. Call 877-GO-GOT or visit go. GUIDA.com. Our Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. 5 years, no interest. Right now at Mark's Jewelers for the month of July for diamond rings. You can get engaged right now. 5 years, no interest. Mark's-Jewelers.com. Ike, in your opinion, we've talked about a lot of them. What would be the worst trade in Philly history? Jack, do you have an opinion? What are most people saying?
Worst trade?
Yes.
Trading for Sam Bradford.
That's a terrible trade. That's a great one, Ike. That's a great one.
Didn't feel bad. Didn't feel awful at the time. But
yeah, it did.
It felt awful.
Not for me. Yeah.
Did you think Sam Bradford was good before the trade?
I think he's good. I thought Chip.
They thought they upgraded. Yeah. Yeah. No.
He's so accurate.
I have a friend that worked in St. Louis radio who texted me and said, "Can you come on the show?" They were laughing at me. They were laughing, saying, "We got rid of Sam Bradford." Now they thought Nick Foles was going to be better than he was there.
And there's nothing funnier than that, like 30-minute period where we thought we got an extra.
They got the second round pick, so they can trade up and get Mariota. That's what everybody said at the time.
Yeah, listen, I thought they were going to cut my access off my key card over there at the NovaCare after that trade went down. I went so hard that day. I'm like, man, I was mad. Nick Foles was gone. Shady had already been traded. Boy, I was so heated that offseason.
Yeah, that was not
I was angry like then. Yeah, it wasn't green goggles like back then.
I couldn't imagine. Different time.
Wasn't green goggles like. I didn't know those guys. Listen, sleeves.
Well, they weren't Eagles.
Exactly. That's the point. How many arguments did I get in with fans about, dude, are you kidding me? You think I'm about to all of a sudden turn around and be a DeMarco Murray fan?
No. Like I tried, man.
Like, I just flip a switch and now I'm a DeMarco Murray fan? Nah, that can't – it didn't work that way, and I'm glad he was only here a year. So it didn't have to, I didn't have to get used to him being an Eagle. Mm-hmm. He was gone after 1 year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, he was, thank God. All right, back to the phones. Lewis in Philly. Lewis, go ahead. How are you?
Hey, are you Gabe?
Yeah, Lou.
What's up, Lou?
Okay.
What's up?
Yeah, I got a couple issues with the Brett Brown thing. I think he just needs to go. I'm sorry. I wasn't with the process at the beginning, but, you know, we did luck up, MB because he was injured or whatever, and he fell to us on the second pick. But to be honest with you, I think, you know, as everybody else knows, if you watch basketball, a lot of big men don't last very long in the league. And I think the Sixers should end up trying to trade Embiid. I know a lot of people might kill me for that, but I love Embiid and everything. But the Sixers are going to have to go to some type of direction as far as which player they're going to have to cater to and want to grow with the team. And I feel like Embiid and everybody just falls in love with all the talent that we have between them two, and they have high ceilings. But at the same time, Embiid is showing a history of injury, and he just continues to get injured about every little thing. And then he's a 270, 280-pound man. A 7-footer, you know, and the NBA, they don't last very long, you know. They don't really last that long. So with Brett Brown, you know, I'm just tired of the shenanigans of the same thing. Everybody keeps giving him a pass. If he makes it in the playoffs to the finals or the championship round, then he's gonna stay. And it's just poor leadership. He doesn't develop the players well. We don't have a deep bench. I don't see the fascination that people see with what we have as a Sixers team. And I'm a Sixers fan. I'm a diehard Eagles.
So you're not high on the Sixers right now, Lou.
No, I don't see the high that everybody has. I don't. We don't have a bench. We don't have really a good role players that could come off the bench and give quality minutes. We have some defensive players. Richardson is not really what we expect him to be. You know, he's really more of a good.
Yeah, a little disappointing. I agree. A little disappointing this year.
We don't really have a quality team overall built. You know, we do have some good players. We do have talent in certain areas. But again, you know, this is the problem with Philadelphia teams. Our management doesn't know when to release certain players or trade and to get value back and bring in that new fresh blood, to bring in also be able to, you know, open up payroll and so forth. That's why we're having issues right now with most of our Philadelphia teams. If you look at all the teams from football, basketball, even the baseball, we spend so much money on this roster that we have, and we have a bunch of nobodies. We don't even have good players like
gotcha.
Bryce Harper.
Gotcha, Lewis. Gotcha. Appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, listen, I like the talent. They're flawed. The Sixers are flawed. Right? They're not sure. They're not a complete roster. They're not, no. You know, but the one thing that they're not going to do, they're not going to break up the big two right now, because if it doesn't work, they're going to try with a new coach.
Yes.
Right? And until I believe their hand is forced, and that could be Joel Embiid not being happy anymore requesting a trade, they're going to try to make it work. They're selling the house out every night. That's important. It's important.
Yeah, the only way Embiid or Simmons is traded is if the player, one or the other, or both, becomes unhappy and wants to force his way out of here. Gone are the days where players can just talk, especially star players, and the organization can ignore them and tell you to shut up and go play. Jamal Adams just got shipped to Seattle.
You're right. It doesn't work like that. When you want out, it's over.
Yes. Uh-huh. Well, because players now have the blueprint of how to get out. You think Jamal Adams didn't know when he sat down for that interview and said, you can't win with Adam Gase as your head coach? He's not a leader of men. You didn't think he didn't know that was his last time he was going to be a Jet?
He was hoping it was
the
last
time. He was hoping it was.
Well, I mean, Jalen Ramsey kind of made the blueprint. Be disruptive. Hey, say, oh,
well,
my back hurts.
You know where the blueprint came from.
T.O.?
Damn right.
Well,
that's the blueprint.
Yeah, it is.
That's the blueprint.
Into A.B.
Yes, it all trickles into those guys.
Yeah, but A.B. didn't end up benefiting from it, right?
No.
Sure
but
he did. Yeah,
he did get out of Oakland.
Hold on. But he got a new contract when he went to Oakland. It was his fault he didn't cash in. He wanted upfront money. Oakland gave him $30 million, I believe.
Which he ended up costing himself.
He cost himself the money.
Right.
And so he actually did get what he wanted. He got traded. He wanted new money. Well, he still screwed it up.
That's what I always say about a no-trade clause is like, you know, listen, if you want the player out of here, you can have a no-trade clause. For the most part, if you say to a player, we don't want you anywhere, we want to trade you, you're going to find a place to trade them to. You may not get the same kind of value for them. Mm-hmm. But if a player wants you out, wants to be out, or you want a player out, it most likely you're going to be traded. You're going to be out.
Whoa, no. No trade clause, the club can't do anything.
No, I know, but if you're a player and the team doesn't want you and they're coming to you trying to trade you, is the player just going to say, oh, no, I'm not going to do it? They may say it for a season, but for the most part, if it's come to where one of the parties wants to move on, then you're probably going to move on.
Yes, I understand exactly what you're saying, because eventually I guess you would make the player unhappy enough that he would – I guess,
would
waive the rights to his no-trade clause. But the reason players put in no-trade clauses is not because they don't want you to ever trade them from this team. It's because they want to have say where they go.
They don't want to be traded to a certain team.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they want to have the ability to veto the trade. You can't send me to Cleveland. You can't send me to this team or that team. I have to okay the trade.
Worst trade. We're getting a lot of trading away Moses Malone.
That's a big one.
Trading Cliffley to Seattle. That was a terrible trade. They got nothing. You had nothing back in return. Yeah. You got the Filippo Mont.
Ruben regretted it today.
Theo Monster.
Theo Monster, who just a total loser. Best trade, Rick Wise for Steve Carlton. Underrated trade, Jason Peters. Getting Jason Peters.
Oh,
very excellent trade.
That's a very underrated trade right there.
I don't think anyone's named the worst trade, though. And it's not really been brought up.
I tried to.
215-592-9494. What's the worst trade?
I think it's the Ferguson Jenkins trade.
Fergie, what did you get back in return?
Nothing. And he traded a guy that won 284 games after he left here.
Yeah.
Turned into a Hall of Famer.
That's a good one.
That's pretty bad.
1974.
Pretty bad.
This has been mentioned a couple times on Twitter. The Legion of Doom trade. Where you got John LeClaire, Eric Desjardins, and was it Gilbert Dionne? What was the third guy they threw in there? And, I mean, listen, you gave up Mark Recchi, who was a Hall of Famer. You know what I mean? It's not like you didn't give up good something in return. But LeClaire and Desjardins became such big, important parts of the Legion of Doom of that era of teams. Desjardins, one of the best defensemen in team history. Mm-hmm. That's a good trade as well. And the Ryan Sandberg, Larry Boa trades being mentioned a lot as well. I mean, listen, you traded a Hall of Fame second baseman for Ivan De Jesus.
Your guy, Ivan De Jesus.
Oh, my God. He was like the 80s era shortstop was Ozzie Smith, right? Like you batted in the 200s, you hit no home runs, you had no power, but you were supposed to be good defensively. Ivan De Jesus was a double play machine. 215-592-9494. It is Marks and Reese. 215-592-9494. We'll get all your phone calls coming up, all right? We have the 76ers conversation going on. Also, Coming up next on Wednesdays at 5:25, we play Stump the Millennial. On the other side, we'll do it. You're playing for a $25 gift card to Fingers, Wings, and Other Things, and it is National Chicken Wing Day. I didn't know that, Jack.
Yes.
We had Hugh
Douglas. There's been a lot of chicken wing talk the last couple of days.
Love chicken wings. So the number to play, caller number 5 right now on our contest line, 215-988-1258. We'll play Stump the Millennial. Jack Fritz is the Millennial. We'll play it up coming up next. 215-988-1258. Caller number 5, Marks and Reese on 94WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.